It's always a time, congregation, where our thoughts do multiply, as also we've all thought today, that we begin this year with two very beloved husbands and fathers. Our congregation has sustained a great loss this year, as God's plow furrowed in the life of the Capsules and in the life family of the Cots, a deep furrow. Where it is something for a small church like this to bury two of their relatively young men, as we did this year. And they are missed, Brian, in February already, and Roy just a couple of weeks ago. Besides that, other relatives have been taken away from our family circles, as I will call attention to that at the end of the service this night. And an hour-like reflection brings then in my heart tears, or a sense of sadness, because losses never really go away. They will become lesser in some way over time, but they will never go away. And though some of these loved ones may be gone for years, you will feel it again on this evening hour, that time, though it lessens pain, doesn't necessarily ever take away the empty places. My dear mother has been widow for nearly 35 years, longer than she was ever married. And yet there is not a day, she says, that she doesn't think about my dad. Maybe we don't understand that. Well, I do very well understand that. Those are holes in our lives. Holes that reminds us also, congregation, of the fact that there one day will be a hole where you used to be. There's some young children that died this year. There were teenagers that were taken away in accidents. You don't have to be old to die. And I was in the hospital the other day, I walked into the children's ward. And children, you don't understand how many children are in those wards that are sick months, years sometimes. I was in California last week where one of the grandchildren of Elder Van Beek has been sick for the last 12 years. 12 years, this young boy, and he is really slowly on dying. Never had a healthy day. Those are the realities. And these are the realities that we often just don't want to think about too much. But an evening like this, I think it's good for us to stop for a moment and to consider. When God plows a deep furrow in our life, as a congregation, He did. He did that. We are all touched by those losses. He did it in the life of these families. He did it in the lives of these children and grandchildren. But He did it in all of us. But when God plows, He has something else in mind. Not the furrow. That's only preparing it for the seed to be sown, which may hopefully grow up into a harvest. So what is the harvest that God desires to see in an evening like this? And I hope that some of that harvest may be what Jeremiah came to in this remarkable chapter that we read tonight. And my intention is to just briefly ask you to think with me about those words of Jeremiah in chapter 3. And I particularly like to focus it on three verses, 21 to 23. And I hope, congregation, that as we part tonight, that something of this may be the last sounds out of your mouth and my heart and your heart as we close to the year 2016. This he says, "This I recall to my mind, and therefore have I hope." That is a remarkable thing to say. Because if you would look around Jeremiah and his circumstances, all around him he sees an absolute devastation as Israel has never seen in its history. You know the history. Lamentations is written in the context of the Babylonian destruction of Jerusalem. There is nothing left of the temple, of the city, of the city walls. This is a desolation. And here he says, "And this I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope." Hope in all that desolation. And why? Well, he goes on, "It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Let's just together reflect on this word of Jeremiah in the three suggestions that really he is giving us. He recalled God's mercies. And we are to do that today. He traced the Lord's mercies, and it came through the Lord's heart. Lord's mercies, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. But then he ended up in worship. "Great is thy faithfulness." And you notice that there, the focus of his words changed. They began from reflection. "So love the Lord's mercy, we're not consumed, and new every morning." It becomes devotion. It goes from that first, from a reflection on what the Lord does, to a direct speaking to the Lord. "Great is thy faithfulness," is how he ends his reflection now. It would be a blessed evening if you and I would end our night or our year like that. So first then, he called to mind God's mercies. I am sure, congregation, this would take a little effort, what he says in verse 21. When you page back in these first verses of this chapter, do you notice something? There is absolutely no shred of light in any of those verses from verse 1 through verse 20. It's all negative. It's all loss. It's all pain. It's all desolation. It's a most incredible portion of Scripture in which Jeremiah writes so vividly about what? About what the Babylonians did. He didn't write about what the Babylonians did at all. About what the fellow Jews did. He's not thinking about what the Jews did. About what, who then? About what God did. Notice that? God did it all. He even dares to say God was like a bear to me. You say, well, that sounds almost disrespectful. He was like a lion to me. He was like a bear lying in secret. He has filled me with gallstones, and he has filled me with bitterness and wormwood. He has enclosed my ways. He has done it all. He has just let me into darkness. He's done all these things for me, against me. It's remarkable that Jeremiah doesn't say a word about the Babylonians in this chapter. Not a word about these people who just came in and who desolated the whole country. He doesn't see them as the real cause. Jeremiah knows it's God's sovereignty that did this in his life. And I find that a remarkable faith. When you think about your situation, Sean, sickness. But Laura, we think cancer took it. About Brian, cancer took him. And Jeremiah would correct us. Jeremiah would say, no, God took him. God did this. God's hand. The sovereign, holy, righteous, perfect, wise, good hand of God has done it. Sin, of course, may be the causes and are the causes, but Jeremiah is crystal clear that the affliction in his life didn't just happen, didn't just come by chance, didn't come from the dust, didn't just come from people, but it came from God. This man has a tremendous faith in the sovereignty of God, as he realizes, in his wisdom, God is dealing with me. No. Is Jeremiah perfect? No. He had his moments of weakness too. I'm so glad to read that about Jeremiah. He had his moments too that he says, Lord, why do the righteous suffer and why are the wicked prospering? You go read it in Jeremiah himself. He is so struggling with God's sovereignty sometimes that he can't figure it out. Why is God letting these good people suffer and these bad people prosper? Now he has his moments of weakness. And we are so happy that God lets us see in the heart of these people that they're just like you and me. Even though they are children of God. Even though they are tremendous, wonderful saints. They are still sinners. And yet at this moment, in this chapter, Jeremiah is full of the understanding that God's hand is in it all. Now when we look back over 2016, I think we don't have an encouraging picture behind it. Around us, within our nation, we could say more ruins have been added. We maybe have forgotten the significant ruling in May of this year when our Supreme Court dared to redefine marriage. I think most of us don't even think about it anymore. It's just the most unbelievable step they've taken. We've turned a corner. But who has turned a corner? God is letting us turn a corner. It's discouraging when you look at our nation. We've gone farther backwards than ever. The moral fiber which made our nation strong is getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And why is that? Well, here's a diagnosis from a man who visited the United States in 1831. He was a Frenchman. Came to visit the United States with one purpose sent by the government, to see what was now the secret of the strength of this young nation. His name is Alexis de Tocqueville, a Frenchman. This is what he wrote. I find it the most remarkable statement. I sought for the greatness and the genius of America in her ample rivers and in her commodious harbors, and it was not there. Then I saw that in her fertile fields and her boundless prairies, but it was not there. It was not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness, that I understood the greatness and the genius of America. America is great because of its preaching, and it ceases to be good if that ceases to be. Isn't that remarkable? 1831. We are nearly, well, how many years farther? Almost 200 years beyond this diagnosis of the greatness of America. We're just on the opposite spectrum, aren't we? This country is past its genius states. Why is that? Because our pulpits are not aflame with righteousness. There is a compromise message sounding from so many pulpits And let God be our examiner and let God be our teacher, that this pulpit may not become like that. Pray for that as we go into the next year again. Because the biblical values in our nation are eroding as we as Christian churches are embracing not the sola scriptura, but as I said earlier to you, the sola cultura. Culture is dictating what we today are saying is truth and not truth. So it's not an encouraging time in which we live. I could almost place ourselves around Jeremiah when he sees all this destruction in his nation. And congregation, maybe your personal circumstances you feel are somewhat reflected. And then comes our text words. Jeremiah says, "This I recall to my mind." I'm sure that took him a little effort. Literally, the Hebrew is, "This I make my heart to return to." You know how that goes? Your thoughts just take you on a little walk, right? You just get into this very, very dark and narrow frame of thinking, and all you see is what's wrong. All you see is what's broken. All you see is what's missing. This I recall to my mind. Here's this man of God saying, "No, I don't want to go that way. I have to think that way. This I recall to my mind." It's not something that naturally was suggested by the circumstances, not naturally suggested by his own heart. But he knows he ought to think in a different direction. He has to take his thoughts, just as the Apostle Paul is exhorting the believers in Philippi to do the same thing. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are honest and just and pure and good, think of those things." That's what Jeremiah does. "This I recall to my mind." I'm going to have to think into a different direction about this. I cannot end my day by just only observing all what is wrong and what is missing, and to see the dark and the difficult. And what did he call to mind? An amazing thing. God's mercies. In our text, this is what I call to remind. It's of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed. Jeremiah, where are those mercies? Look back in that chapter. Where are these mercies you're talking about? It has to look good to see those mercies sometimes. They don't always necessarily show themselves in our circumstances. They do not show themselves necessarily in the nice and the beautiful things of this life. Because he didn't have any of those. This man was on the bottom of the pit. With all that was taken out of his life. This, I recall, it's the Lord's mercies. God's mercies, congregation, is his goodness by which he lays to heart our misery and is moved with compassion. That's the word mercy. It's translated sometimes loving kindness in the Bible. God's kindness that is loving. Jeremiah, where are they? How can you mention this now? I only see justice. I see holiness. I see God's wrath and God's anger. And Jeremiah sees mercies. You see, we need the Spirit of God here, don't we? To have our eyes also enlightened as it was for him. He also sees we're not consumed. He says it's of the Lord's mercies. We're not consumed. Jeremiah, we're not consumed? Where's Jerusalem? Where's the temple? Where are all the people? They're all the way in Babylon. What do you mean we're not consumed? how can this man say things like this in this circumstance? This is the Lord's mercies. We're not consumed because His compassions fail not, and they are new every morning. Now, there's two ways we can look at this word, we're not consumed. We usually take the easier way of thinking we're not consumed, like we're spared. I think it's a good point to think about this evening. We're spared. Well, Paul is not Aleppo. Why not? God's mercies. We're spared, definitely. You look across the fence to other people in this world. You look at other parents. Look at other children, other cities. There's war, there's destruction. Incredible uncertainty. Refugees, there are thousands of them. Abuse, hunger, violence, loneliness. There's people with pain and chronic sickness, poverty. It's for the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. It could be a lot worse than what we have experienced. And why is it not worse? Why is it not worse? Mercies. Mercies. Let's not stop thinking about that. Mercies. We've had it good. And why, if we have it good, it's only because the Lord is having a merciful, compassionate mind towards you and me. And mind you, we are not worthy, the least of them. Oh, we say that so easily. It's a beautiful quote to use in your prayers, of course. But let's stop now and think about it. Are we really worthy any mercies? We who rebelled in Adam, we who fell away from God, we who continue to dishonor Him, are we really, really worthy of mercy? We will never understand the greatness of God if we don't understand who you and I am and what we do and how we live and how much we grieve God and dishonor Him and tire, weary Him. Of course, that's a human expression. We don't weary God, but He uses that very same word in Amos. You are wearying me. Just to let us feel what the Amos people did. And friends, we do the same. So that's one way to look at the word. His mercies, it's of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. There's another way that this verse could be translated. It's a little different than what we have in our English, but that the mercies of the Lord are not consumed. Not that we are not consumed, but His mercies have not come to an end. His mercies have not totally come to an end. And is it not true to all of us? Also, Jeremiah has reason to observe that. Why is that? Because when he sent those people back to Babylon, he could preach a promise that God has thoughts of peace towards them while he sends them away to Babylon. His mercy is that He promised them to bring them back again. It's not a cut-off thing. It is certainly a deep trial for Israel, the deepest that they have received yet here as a discipline of God. But in the discipline of God is mercy laced together. Jeremiah saw it. Do you see it? Can I look at my trials and afflictions? I'm not talking about my personal ones, but speaking in terms of you and me, our afflictions. And we see these gaping holes. We feel this pain. And we sense this missing. And yet can we look beyond that and still notice it's of the Lord's mercies. We are not consumed. That He has yet laced our lives out of His bountiful hand with many-fold mercies. Let's ponder about that as we sing together. 429, verse 1 and 4. With all my heart will I record Thy praise, O Lord, in exaltation. We'll sing the first and the fourth verse of 429. Jeremiah reflects on these mercies, these evidences of the mercies of God in his life still. And he traces them back to the character of God, to the heart of God. Congregation, we are to wonder sometimes, not often, sometimes, we are to wonder every day, how can God be like this? Daily, you and I transgress Him. We may not be aware of it. How often we sin against God our Maker. But He is aware of it. Our thoughts, our words, our lack of thoughts and lack of words as well. He is aware of it. He marks it. He senses it. As we transgress His holy law to love Him with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what he feels. And isn't it then an incredible mystery that this bountiful God keeps on giving? Giving. You just imagine your neighbor doing that to you every day. Every day is stepping on your toes, or stepping worse, on your heart, and calling you a name, or just doing things that just are not nice. Every day, time after time after time. See, you cannot measure the greatness of God if you don't reflect on yourself enough. And this is what Jeremiah does. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because, why? Because his compassions fail not. Now he looks into the heart of God. His compassion. That's the inner room of the heart of God. His compassion. You read it so often about Jesus. His compassions were kindled within him. About who? About these people. These people without a shepherd. These people that are without God and without hope. These people that are sinning against his Father and against him. And his compassions are new and are full. They fail not. And I have this desire tonight to just park your thoughts there for a moment. All the things in this whole year are important. But we will never end this year well if we don't focus on this compassionate being. Yeah, but it really hurt what he did. I believe it. It really does hurt when God hits you with pain and trials and losses. But let's read this verse later in the chapter. Though he caused grief, verse 32. Though he caused grief. Now he did that. He caused grief. He led us to the cemetery twice. He caused grief in other ways. Yeah, he did that. But though he did it, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies, for he does not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men. That's an incredible word that the Embodied Jeremiah uses here. The word willingly, it says literally in the Hebrew, he doesn't do it from his heart. As if he has a pleasure in doing it. You know, children, sometimes your father and mother have to take you on over their knee and give you a little discipline. They don't do that from their heart. They don't have a joy in giving you a little discipline or a big discipline. They don't have joy in that. And when God causes grief, and when God plows with his plow of affliction, furrows in our lives, don't think he has a pleasure in doing that. He does it not willingly. Doesn't grieve the children of men because he hasn't delight. What then? He has compassion. Compassion? Yes. And he knows that we won't listen until we hurt. This is a sad reality, isn't it? We see it in children. If you don't discipline them, they go the wrong way. Guaranteed. It's in them from the womb. So we need to discipline them. So God needs to. He does grieve, but not from the heart, as if he has a delight. No, He has compassion. He sees us on the wrong way. He sees us clinging to the wrong things. He sees us rooting ourselves deeply into this world. He sees us making idols of the thing He never meant to be an idol. He sees all that, and He needs to continue to cut. He needs to continue to afflict. He needs to make us feel the pain. Why does He do it? Because His compassionate heart doesn't want us to go the wrong way. Now we look back at 2016. Can you see where Jeremiah comes from now? If God wouldn't have done what He did, what would have been left in Israel? He needed a discipline. He needed to make him go to the furnace of Babylon to bring them back again. And He needs to do it time and time again. This is what we still need. That's why Jesus said through Paul's words, I think it was, to the Christians in the early Christian church, you must go through many tribulations into the kingdom of heaven. Why many tribulations? Because His compassion sees you need it. So He loves, so He shows His care and mercy. And friends, because of this character of God, then Jeremiah can still say, His mercies are new every morning. New every morning. New every morning. I'm sure when Jeremiah got up every morning in these times in which this all was taking place, he had to remind himself of what he just wrote. I'm sure that some of you understand. When you go through these hardships and these difficult times, oh, when that dream finally is gone and over, and sometimes they're nice dreams, sometimes they're not, and you wake up to the reality, and it feels like a big wet blanket falling over you. This I recall to my mind. New mercies every morning. And Jeremiah begins to think, what's new this morning? Mercies. They're new every morning. They're new in two ways. They are new because they are again an act of mercy. Because we failed the day before, didn't we? We even fail in the night. For we are never pure and holy, even when we sleep. Mercies again. Begin your day with recalling to your mind these mercies. And therefore have I hope. Every day, God gives us new discoveries of His love, of His goodness, of His mercy, of His kindness, and of His patience and forbearance. And how different would our day go when we begin our morning with worship. What kind of worship? Great is Thy faithfulness. You say, you end a year with that? Yes. I desire that we together tonight come before God in this doxology. Great is Thy faithfulness. Let us end this year end on the note of thanksgiving. Let us end this year on the note of amazement. Why? Two funerals? Yeah. Why not more? That could have been the case. Why are we here? Faithfulness. Come, congregation. We have no reasons tonight not to join Jeremiah. Was God not mindful of us? Has God not blessed our lives with bounties freely given? Must we indeed not say, yes, the mercies have been new also upon us every morning again? God has added days of grace. God has added day and time. It's for you here tonight who are still living, thoughtless perhaps and shallow and just traditional conformist, but not with a heart for God and not with a heart to love Him and to serve Him. Isn't it amazing? Even though you've been an unfruitful tree this year, His mercy is that He didn't take the axe and cut you off and says, done with you. If you are not safe tonight, then why are you still here tonight? Because of the compassion of the heart of God. Don't forget. He has no desire in the death of any wicked. That's the only reason. If He would deal with us according to our sins. Friends, one sermon of the gospel rejected is the vilest sin in the world. Remember when we preached once on Matthew 11? That the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah is in God's sight not quite as vile as the sin of Capernaum, Bethsaida, and Chorazin, who rejected His great mercies when He preached in their streets. Will you remember that tonight? And why are you still here? When maybe some of us here have continued to not hearken to the call of God. Why is it? His mercies, His compassion, His faithfulness, dealing with your soul and allowing you another year to be. And I may quote Brian on that as I hear him still in his prayers, that to be still on praying grounds. Remember how often he said that? Why is that? Why are you still on praying grounds tonight? Because of the compassion, the faithfulness of Jehovah. Come, my dear friends, we have ample reason tonight to come before God in this so wonderful moment of Jeremiah's reflection, isn't it? I was reading of Richard Sibbes, and here's a quote I thought I'd want to withhold from you. He that seeks us before we sought Him, will He refuse us when we seek after Him? Maybe you have neglected to seek Him. That's terrible. But He is seeking you tonight on this last evening. And then Sibbes reminds us, He that seeks us before we sought Him, will He refuse us when we seek after Him? Let no man therefore despair or be discouraged, though he ought to be deeply ashamed. If there be in you the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of sin, there is much more height, and much more breadth, and much more depth, and much more length of mercy in God. And though we have played the harlot with many lovers, let us yet return again, for His thoughts are not our thoughts, and His mercies are the mercies of an infinitely merciful Jehovah. It's of His mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Amen. Let us together close in prayer.